The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
And here we go.
It's Friday, gotta get down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend, Friday, getting down on Friday. Everybody looking forward to the weekend, partying, fun, looking forward to the weekend.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Hey now! It is Friday, like my girl Rebecca is saying. Which seat can I take? Whichever seat you're in, my friend. Have a seat. Listen to the show today. This show is probably, it's going to be a top five show that you've heard on this station this week.
Oh.
Yep.
That's lofty.
It's, yeah, but I will have done five shows. It might be the worst show that I've done, but there's nobody on this show, on this station doing better shows than I'm doing, so I don't have to worry about that.
Well, at least you're humble.
Yeah, I mean, listen.
Yeah.
We know what's happening. So, well, congratulations. In turn, that means three of the top five performances on the station this week you were involved in.
Just glad to be
here. That's got
to
feel good.
I'm just glad to be here.
It's got
to
feel good, right?
It feels good.
Yeah, because normally when you just do the game day show, you're like top 25, top 30.
Wow, that high?
I mean,
I wouldn't. You obviously have never listened. It ain't that good.
Well, I like your show, but really the only show I can listen to is the car selling show because All the other shows are too racist or too sexist. So
we really try to be both.
Their show is not very racist at all and not very sexist at all.
I believe that was a comment that was, yeah.
That's a Facebook comment.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. The car show isn't racist or sexist. Isn't it called In Wheel Time or something like that now?
No. Is it? Did they change it?
I don't know, but In Wheel Time was the goofiest name for a car show.
In Wheel Time is on 1560 from 9 to 12.
Oh, well, there you
What's
go.
What's that about?
Cars.
Really? You had to ask?
On Saturdays?
Yeah.
So we have competing car shows?
It's different. They talk more. The John Clay Wolf talks more about selling cars, and the In Wheel Time guys talk about cars.
What about them?
Different cars.
Like are they talking about like headers and transmissions
this one
horsepower and
gas pedals?
Yeah. Hey, man.
Trannies. They talk a lot about trannies.
They talk a lot about trannies on that show.
A lot of tranny talk.
They drop their trannies.
Yeah.
They're tranny droppers.
Top five, baby.
Boom. As you know, this show, all week long, has done little to talk about sports because this is, in my opinion, the slowest sports week of the calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that's probably why Fred takes this time off.
Probably.
But we make the most of it, and that's what I like about this station is they don't force me to talk about the Open Championship, who I think Phil Mickelson and his giant boobies are still leading that thing. Mm. This is a whole different championship?
This is the Barbasol.
Yeah, so here, let me tell you guys. This is how...
This is the shaving cream championship.
Yeah, apparently we didn't pay our cable bill, so we don't have the Open on in here. We have the Barbasol championship on the TV in here, which is being led by...
Jonathan Vegas.
Jonathan. J-H-O-N-A-T-T-O-N.
A-N. Yeah.
Boy.
Jonathan Vegas.
Like, why do people... if you've got a sort of a normal-ish name, a standard name, why do they go with the really hard spelling?
I don't know.
Like, what if your name was B-A-I-R-R-E-Y, and you had to tell people, my name's Barry Laminack, and then they'd inevitably spell your name wrong when they write it down.
Sure.
Who wants that life for their children?
Apparently, Mr. and Mrs. Vegas.
So, like,
want
if you spell AJ, like, well, how would you? A H J
A Y J H E Y? AJ? My wife strongly she was strongly in the camp. My oldest son, his name is Jacob. She wanted to use a K instead
what?
Of a C.
No.
And I was like, do you realize all that's going to do is complicate his life?
Yeah.
Complications.
That's true. That's good for you for taking the stand.
I did.
How about the other ones? Did she try to get crazy with those?
No.
Okay.
No.
She just tried to get fancy one time.
She
don't get fancy.
Yeah.
Just stay in your lane. You're average white people. You got to just stick to the season, Jacob.
Yeah.
Don't be trying to get fancy.
I have the hardest time because I feel like every kid has the same name, or like there's like five or six kid names.
Uh huh.
And coaching baseball, it's becoming a real issue. And every trendy name from like the last 10 years is on my baseball team.
Oh, no.
And some of them are brothers. So there's a Colton and a Caden.
Oh.
But as if that weren't difficult enough, those two brothers named Colton and Caden, there's also a Caleb on our team.
Oh, no.
There's my kid and another Jacob.
You have yeah.
There's an Ethan.
My goodness.
Every one of those.
Sounds so privileged.
There's a Braden.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is your team just full of like parents that work in the stock market and
I think so.
Doctors.
I think so. I think
what happened to a good old Ralph? Just some dude,
we
some
have
mechanic,
no Ralphs
with
on
a
the
kid,
team.
Just a Ralph.
No Ralphs. No
Stan.
Ralphs.
There, no Stans.
No Stans.
Damn it.
There's
you must be up in the fancy part of the Woodlands.
We have two Julians. One of them goes by Pete.
What?
So we kind of have a Pete.
Well, at least you got some crackheads mixed in there. What
we
kind of
have
that?
A Pete. It's his middle name.
Okay.
So, he's not an authentic Pete.
No.
He's a Julian. And we have a Marco.
Wow.
I'm trying to think
You have a, I'm not going to get in trouble.
I don't think we have any names that, like, when I was a kid growing up, I didn't have any of these kids' names on my team.
No?
No.
Yeah, I know. I had Ralphs and Stans and Charlies.
Bobby.
I had Bobby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, and if something was real crazy, it'd be like Brad.
Bradley going by Brad.
Brad's you'll notice Brad has a real weird name, right? Now it's like everybody, I can't tell any of them apart. I'm the worst at it. The season is almost over, thankfully. And you know what?
How's the team doing? Are you guys any good?
Yeah, pretty solid. Last night, the team we played tried to cheat us, and I didn't like that very much.
What'd they do?
There's a rule in our league because we play double headers. So you play two games every Thursday night. And the rule is you have, and this is all 9 and 10 year olds. So
it counts. It matters.
They gotta take care of these kids, the pitchers. They can't have them going out there, you know, blowing their arms out.
Why not?
Because they get their children. Sir.
Come on.
You don't know what it's like. You've got nothing but a pet rat snake and two cats who crap in your shower.
It's not a pet rat snake.
So the rule is you each kid can pitch 3 innings in a night, but only 2 in 1 game. And the other coach tried
what?
To send, he had some badass pitcher that he didn't use in their first game, so he tried to send him out for a third inning in the third game, and I was like, oh, no, sir. And he's like, I didn't use him in the first game. I said, well, if you look at the rules here, you'll see that it doesn't matter when you use
them. Oh, so you're Mr. Rulebook.
Dude, I'm
Do you carry a copy with you?
This dude was smoking our kids. I was trying to get Randy Johnson off the mound.
Do you carry a copy of the rule book with
you? No, but I do. I have the email where the rules were sent to us.
Oh, you would make me so sick if I was going, let me show you here.
Just
Article
that,
7, subsection 6, paragraph 9.
It's literally a screenshot of that particular rule.
Why? Because everyone tries to cheat?
Because everyone tries to cheat on that
rule.
What
the hell kind of
and I'm
league
our,
are you playing?
For our team, I'm the pitching coach. So I handle the pitchers, and I have a rotation where I map out their innings.
Yeah.
And hell, if I could use my best kid all the time and just go up there and mow everybody down, I'd do it too, but that's not the rules. So
get
I've had
Ezekiel
to like
heal out there. Just
I've had to develop pitchers that so I don't have just one guy bringing
right.
bringing the heat.
You're teaching them how to throw like the knuckleball. That would be
one
sweet.
One of my kids does throw a knuckleball.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Pete throws a knuckleball.
Pete.
Knuckleball Pete, we call him. So eventually we get it cleared up. They understand that they're cheating. We've beat the snot out of this team every time we've played them this year. And in the last inning, we mount a comeback. The problem is, it's an hour and 40 minutes, and the game ends. So
no matter what, even if you're in the middle of an at bat,
doesn't
you don't
matter.
Play to the end of the inning or nothing.
You finish the at bat. That's it.
Oh,
you don't finish the inning.
God.
So we were the home team.
Does everyone get a ribbon?
No, we were the home team. We had the last at bat, and we were down 4-1 going into the inning.
Mm-hmm.
We scored 3 runs, had a man on second and third with no outs. So the game is tied now.
Yeah.
Second and third, no outs.
Yeah, just get someone to lay down a sack bunt.
And the the umpire says, last batter.
What?
All right. It's our last batter. Okay. Uh-huh.
Squeeze.
Yeah. Kid strikes out.
What? Oh!
Kid strikes
Whose
out.
Whose raggedy-ass kid was that?
I don't want to get into that.
Oh!
Kid strikes out.
I would be so pissed.
And the opposing team cheered like they won the World Series.
Mocking that kid. Did he cry? Did the kid cry?
No.
Oh,
no.
That would have made it so much better.
Because we didn't lose. We tied.
Yeah, but still. Did you tell him he let everyone down? Did
of course,
you make it known?
Our kids are all salty.
Yeah.
Because they're like, that's only one out. This is junk.
Yeah, this
and
is junky.
The other kids, and not just the kids, but the coaches and the families of these kids were celebrating this tie like it was the freaking 4th of July.
Yeah.
And I told our coach, next time we play these guys, we need to hammer them even harder. If they're going to celebrate ties with us, we need to demoralize these kids.
Did you kick
forward.
That kid, that loser, off your team for
no,
striking out?
No, he's still
what?
On the team.
No, he's a loser. You can't. Listen.
In that instance, he was a loser.
There's times.
But in life, he's a winner.
No, there's times when kids need to start learning lessons, and 10 is about it.
This kid caught a lesson early on in the season in the form of a fastball to the elbow.
Oh.
And
what's his average right now? What's he hitting?
He's a decent hitter. And when he got on first base, like the week after that happened, he took off an elbow pad and handed it to me. And again, these are a bunch of privileged white kids, as you've noticed.
Right, yes.
As you could tell by their names.
Jacob and Caleb. And
yeah. As you could tell by their names, they're all a bunch of privileged white kids. So I'm thinking this kid is like trying to be fancy. He's got like a digital camo that matches his uniform elbow pad. And I'm coaching first base. He hands me this elbow pad. He's like, can you hold this for me while I run? And I get back to the dugout, and I'm like, these kids are, what do you think they are, Barry Bonds? He's got like an elbow armor. The kid broke his elbow.
Oh!
The pitch that hit him broke his elbow. I was like,
a week ago and he's out there balling?
It's like, damn, I'm a
oh,
bad
yeah,
person.
Oh, yeah, you're an evil
I'm
person.
I'm a bad person.
Still,
all right.
Still, he needs to be cut, though.
Yeah.
Don't let that sway you.
He won't be on the team next year.
It's time to cut.
Good. We'll be back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz. I got another. Also, what happened last night?
Mm-hmm.
So my kid gets a hit, gets to first base, and I'm the first base coach.
Just like his papa.
Much slower than his papa at age 8. It's a 9-10 league.
Uh-huh.
My kid's 8, so he's bigger than most of the other kids, but he's not quite as athletic. He's not quite as there.
Right.
You know?
Not coordinated yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
And like on his teams last year when it was coach pitch, he was like starting shortstop, you know, hitting third. He's best player on the team.
Yeah.
Now he plays left field, you know.
Oh, he's in left?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He
plays left or center.
He plays
that's
left or center.
That's not bad. Right field when you'd you would be embarrassed to have him as your son.
It's funny, but when you get to the big leagues, and that's what I always tell the kids on the team that have to play right field all the time. When you get to the big leagues, that's where the biggest arm goes, guys. Right field. That's how you make them feel
good. Yeah, not so much in the little leagues.
But my kid is slow, so slow. He gets this hit. I'm the first base coach. I tell him, listen. And I'm aggressive at first base. I have these kids stealing bases all the time.
Sure. Because they can't throw.
They
can't throw.
So I tell my kid, you take three steps off the bag. If I say go, you go. Which the only time I'm telling him go is if the catcher, if the ball gets by the catcher.
Yeah, yeah.
If I say back, you get back because kids have pickoff moves. Somewhere.
Right. Who? Really?
I got it. That kid Pete, Knuckleball Pete, badass pickoff move.
Oh, nice.
Badass pickoff move. But I said, if I say nothing, you do nothing. I say, you understand? Looks at me and nods. First pitch, steals. He would have been out. They make a bad throw.
Uh-huh.
The ball goes into center field, so he's safe. What's he do? Gets up and runs to third.
Oh.
Another bad throw. He's safe again. So what's he do? Gets up and goes home. Slides in. Ump has a bad angle. He should have been safe. They called him out.
Oh.
I wasn't even mad about it because he should have been out twice.
Yeah.
Because his slow ass couldn't make it.
I thought you were going to say if he made it in he came to me, second, he was you would have like, made him go back to first. Like, come back here. I told you not to go.
I came in the dugout. He knew I was pissed. And he's like, Dad, I was safe. I slid under the tag. I was safe. I said, you think I care about that? Oh, no. No, I care about you looking me in my eyes and saying, I understand, and then running like you're Ricky Henderson and you just got a green light to go whenever you want.
He's his own man. Let him be a man, AJ.
Oh, yeah, you're going to be a man, all right. Let's talk to Damien.
Hello.
Damien?
Yes, sir.
Hey, now.
Hey, what's going on today?
Sports is going on.
That's excellent. So, my kid was on that team last night that y'all ended up tying up in the last inning there, and y'all's last batter went down looking, it looked like.
Yep.
I just wanted to, which
I yell at them all the time. I say, they all have these fancy-ass $200 bats.
Yeah.
I say, you have the fancy, pretty bats, and y'all just leave them on your shoulders.
Oh.
Dogs.
Well, man, I just wanted to say, man, y'all's team is y'all got some studs on there. You got that whole infield looks like some select players.
Did you see that kid that went first to home and got thrown out on a bull crap call?
Yeah, well, that was your kid, right?
That was my kid. That was my kid.
Let me ask you a question, Damien.
Left and center, man, that's the same place that my son plays, but he's got an arm, but he's pretty fast, too.
Damien, let me ask you a question. Now, you guys ended up coming from ahead and getting the tie, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And you celebrated. Did you guys go have ice cream and just throw down with a party? Because it sounded like y'all were pretty excited.
Well, see, a tie against a team that beat us 13-3 the last game is, I guess that's something to write home about.
Listen, man.
I was over there with those dads celebrating, but.
Were you,
man,
really? What kind of example are you setting?
No, I mean, you know, getting the out was a big thing. You got two runners, you know, you got the winning run on third, and the kid goes down looking.
But
doesn't it won that? Father Time won that, because y'all were.
Doesn't it seem kind of bush, though, that we had guys on second and third? That was our first out, and the game's over?
No, it's garbage. I absolutely hate that. I mean,
that rule's got to change.
Even if it's the last batter and he takes a walk, he just runs until you tag him out. That's crazy.
Yeah.
What?
Well, I had a kid on first and third. I told the kid at first to steal.
Should have stole home.
The pitcher was holding the ball on the mound.
Well,
I told him go.
Yeah, but I mean, I know our coaches, we're not going to throw on a
kid.
Yeah,
that's what I was waiting for.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing. Yeah, you should have made the guys on second and third just run.
Yeah.
Oh,
well, the last out I should have. I should have had the guy I had running on third truck the catcher.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Make the catcher hold on to the ball, but
yeah.
What are you going to do? They're kids.
Well,
man,
so.
Catcher's a little stud, too. He's got a cannon.
Oh, well, listen, that's another story. Our catcher, all season long, and thanks for the call, Damien. We've had the brothers,
uh-huh.
They both want to be the catcher. They have their own catching gear. So mm-hmm. We're like, all right, these kids can catch.
Okay.
Every every issue we've had, almost every run that's been scored against us this year is because the catcher can't hold on to the ball.
Yeah.
So eventually it got me to the point where I pulled out that kid last night that had his own gear and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And like he wants to be he thinks he's going to be Mike Piazza or something. And I pulled our shortstop, who's literally like 2 feet tall. He looks like a dwarf. The catching gear doesn't fit him, but he is a stud. And he's like,
not scared of the ball.
Oh,
not,
no. Yeah. He's like the most confident kid we've got. His name's Braden.
Oh,
savage.
See? Yeah.
And he got in there catching. Oh, that's the only reason we caught back up, because our other catcher couldn't catch the ball.
Oh.
But Braden saved the day. Our catcher is a stud. That guy, Damien's right.
So he's not your catcher, though. He's your shortstop.
He's our catcher from now on.
Oh, he is?
Oh, yeah. The times have changed. Sorry.
You just – breaking news right here on ESPN.
Yeah.
Nice. What?
What?
I'm looking at the call. There's nobody
there. There's no name.
Yeah. Oh, well.
Oh, well.
This is more Little League talk. I wondered if they really did go celebrate. I would have shamed Mike. I would have probably given him swats all the way to the car for tying.
The kid who
struck out? Or striking out. No, either one. If my kid was on the team that had the lead and tied, or if my kid was the one that struck out, I'd paddle him all the way to the truck.
Maybe so.
That's how you teach a kid.
Just beat him?
Yeah. Well, not beat. Swats.
Strongly disciplined.
Just some swats.
Okay, Adrian
here and there.
Peterson.
Just some swats now and then. Never hurt nobody.
All right.
I'm not getting tree branches.
Okay, you're using the hand?
Yeah, I'm not getting switches.
Okay.
Yeah. That's what I do to the cats.
Call the cops, John.
My wife would shoot me if I ever laid a hand on a cat. Are you kidding me?
What's up, Tyler?
Hey, Phil. Hey, fellas. How we doing?
What's up, man?
Doing sports.
Hey, AJ. Dude, I have a 4-year-old, and I cannot wait until my little boy gets old enough to where I can coach. But his mom actually just signed him up for YMCA soccer.
Oh,
so,
no.
That's a little disappointing. But, hey, you know, I mean.
What's next, ballet?
Hopefully he'll be good at it.
Yeah.
You know, but I wanted to call
about
and
your
I
sweet
to
little
talk
princess.
About the Astros' new infielder. I don't want to try to say his name because I know I'm going to butcher it.
Yulisky Uriel?
Yeah,
wanted to
see if that means we're going to trade Valbuena, maybe we'll keep Bregman in the minors a little bit longer. But to me, that means there's going to be some moves coming, whether it be in our farm system or whether it be, you know, Valbuena or, you know, trading whoever it may be.
Yeah, I'm not sure what the Astros plan to do with this guy. What I will say is they're, by Astros standards, paying this dude $9.5 million a year means – he's making big money.
He ain't sitting in the minors for very long. I'll tell you that. Not making that.
Because when you get a contract like that, if he's at AAA, he's still getting the same money.
Yeah.
So they're going to do something with him. I'd be lying if I said I knew a bunch about this guy. But I did see that last season in Cuba, he hit 500.
That's all right. That's pretty good.
And had 35 more walks than strikeouts last year. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
It's not bad.
So, I don't know what to think. Trading Valbuena seems unlikely to me.
Well, you kind of now. I mean, he can play second and third, so you know he's not going to play second.
No.
You're set there. Third is open, but then what do you do with Bregman? Are you going to put Bregman in left field?
You wait.
You wait?
Yeah, or you trade Bregman.
Or you got to teach one of these kids how to play first.
Well, Valbuena can play first.
Well, I'm saying, so Valbuena is obviously not the long-term solution at third base for the Houston Astros. Over the next 5 years, you're not going to see Valbuena there. This year, he's fine. I think he's hitting around 270 going into the break. He hasn't been a detriment to the team like he was at the beginning of the year. So there wasn't a reason to bring up Bregman right away. I don't know, though. Now you've kind of got a log jam
and this is why prospects are it's such a stupid game.
Yep.
And everybody who says, don't trade him, you can't trade him, he can't miss, you're an idiot. Because this time last year, everybody said the answer at first base is A.J. Reed. A.J. Reed was a top prospect in the organization. He was the man. Now he's up, and everybody's like, man, we got to get some more production out of
early.
First base.
It's early.
Dude, that's the problem, though. People quit on these prospects early.
That's very true.
Why there's no point in rushing guys. You know,
well, and the Astros have never been known to rush a prospect to the majors. Well,
usually
let's
because
be real.
It's for financial reasons.
It is. They want to make sure they maximize the amount of options that they can get and everything else.
Where they are now in the season, if they bring up Bregman now or September, it doesn't make a financial difference for them.
Okay.
So that's not the case. It's just a matter of if they think he's ready to play. Or, again, I say not playing him maintains his trade value much more than playing him does.
No, I think my opinion is they need him to get as many reps as possible at third base. And when you bring him up, you're going to have to either play him or sit him, and he's not going to get better if you're sitting him behind Valbuena. So you either leave him in AAA and let him continue to learn the position, or you're going to bring him up and sit. So I think they're doing the right thing if they're, you know, let him get ready to start. Let him at least get a half a season under his belt, you know. So I think you'll see him in September. I think that'll be enough time at third base to warrant a call up.
We'll see.
It's gonna take me a year just to say this new kid's name.
Just make up whatever sound you want to make.
Gurriel. Gurriel.
Gurriel.
Yeah. Gurriel. I like that.
Gurriel.
That's the Texan in me. I'll just say how it's spelled.
Hey, Jong, during the break, flip over to 790 and see how they're saying it, and we'll just copy. Charlie Palillo knows how to say that kid's name.
He always, sure. Yeah. I'll just YouTube it.
I'm sure. Or he'll Google it if he doesn't know. Yeah. He'll figure it out. All right, we'll be back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 975.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 975. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
All right, we are back on The Blitz. Talked a little bit of sports. I mean, there's some
mostly
Little League,
yeah. That's sports.
Then we've talked about the Astros and what they're willing to do. Now, there's also a possibility that kid that they just bought is going to be eventually moved to a corner outfield spot.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
Okay.
At least that's what the internet tells me.
Well, that would make sense then. So you could still play Bregman at third, make him your left fielder, and boy.
But I still say,
if the kid lives up to the hype, and Bregman does too.
I still say in the right situation, if they can, notably the name Chris Sale, if they can get Chris Sale.
Oh, well, yeah. I would trade either one of those guys in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, you're going to go out and get an ace like that, of course. But I think long term,
you say that, but there are people who are like, you can't trade him.
What?
Yeah.
No, for the right person, for Chris Sale.
Dude, that's not even a
question.
That trade offer would sit in my email for about 3 seconds, and
I don't know which one of your listeners is saying that they wouldn't do that, but they're not very bright if they're saying that, because that's ridiculous.
It's going to be, I mean, and rightfully so. You shouldn't trade him for nothing. You know, that would be stupid.
Yeah,
but Chris Sale is a controllable pitcher who has a team option through 2019.
Yeah,
he is not only an ace, like a frontline
starter.
Yeah,
like a bona fide,
He's
this
like a top 4 or 5 pitcher in baseball, probably.
Yeah, at one point this year, the two best pitchers in baseball both pitched in Chicago at one point.
Yeah,
he's legit ace. I would do that deal in a heartbeat. Here's the thing that scared me about this as I was reading up on it. This kid's name that I can't pronounce, Uriel, is that what it is?
We'll do something like that.
Sure. Okay. He's 32.
Right.
That bothers me. That scares me a little bit. You know, because sports wise, and especially baseball, I learned the prime for most athletes is somewhere around 27, 28. That's the prime for an athlete physically, especially in baseball. It scares me that you could be looking at a guy who is just now. And he's not even in the majors yet. He's not coming this year.
Right. I wouldn't go that far.
Well, so they are paying him on an average $11.5 million, which would make him one of the highest paid Astros, if not the. Fister makes $11.4 million, so he's pretty close. So I still don't think they're gonna bring him up this year. But even if they did, He's 32. I mean, he's probably starting the downside of his career as he's starting his major league career. That's a scary proposition.
I mean, he probably is, but it's you don't have to deal with the growing pains of, you know, getting a guy up through the minor league system. When you sign a guy like this, you assume that he's ready to play, you know, and the guy's played in Japan. And, you know, these are always a risky thing.
Sure.
But age doesn't worry me as much. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not going to last forever, obviously. But I'm not worried about that 32. I mean, I see
that guys, doesn't bother you at all that he's 32 years old.
No. I mean, I see guys like Jose Bautista, who's 36 years old, and he's bombing the hell out of the ball.
Yeah, but look how much major league experience he has. This kid has none. So that to me is what makes the big difference in that. But you know what? At least the Astros are willing to take a chance, spend some money on a guy that several teams, as I understand, Mets, Padres, Yankees, Dodgers. So that lets you know they're not looking. If it was the Brewers and the Padres were the only ones looking at this guy, then you'd be like, ugh, well. Yeah. But you know, when you get the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Mets and even the Giants involved, okay. You know, it's probably a good prospect to land. So good for the Astros.
Well, it can't hurt.
No, it certainly can't.
So,
especially if you left your left fielder for the next 5 years.
If the guy can play, yeah, he can play.
Yeah.
So let's talk to Matt. Hello, Matt.
Sports.
Sports to you.
So it would have been a better question for Wednesday, but what kind of odds do you put on now? Adrian Peterson breaking Emmitt Smith's record. He's got six more years to play, as many years as Emmitt Smith did, and 6,680 yards to his record. I know in today's NFL that's a lot asking out of an NFL running back, but Adrian Peterson just continues to defy odds, and he's a freak. I mean, straight, plain and simple, he's a freak.
What's your question then?
What are the odds that he breaks it?
Oh, what are the I'm almost certain he will. To me, Adrian Peterson's the best running back I've ever seen. Barry Sanders is in that conversation too. But, I mean, those two guys, 1 and 1A for me. Emmitt Smith has the record. He lasted a long time. And, I mean, when you say 6,000 yards away, 6,000 yards is a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, that's 6,000 yards is more than half of what Adrian Peterson's rushed for in his career. But I'm not in the camp that bets against Adrian Peterson.
No, he's freakishly good.
He does what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And now it does concern me a little when you think about, you know, how long the guy's played and, you know, a guy that he got drafted the same year as, Marshawn Lynch, just retired from football. You know? So
yeah, that's a good point.
It's a tough sport to play for running backs, tougher than it used to be. Bodies wear down quickly, and because running backs don't make as much money as they used to, it's almost a disposable position. But I've always said Adrian Peterson is a special case, and my guess is he'll be in that conversation. If he doesn't break the record, he's going to get to a point where we wonder if he is going to break the record. And I would say that, you know, finishing top three is almost a lock. So, which means he'd hit 15,000 plus. He's a great player.
Well, and years-wise, you know, he's been around, what, since 2007.
Yeah.
But then you saved a year in 2014 when he only played the one game. So,
and he didn't look like he lost anything.
No, he didn't, not at all. So, I think he's got a legit shot, and he is freakishly good. So, I'm certainly not going to be the person that says, nah, he can't make it. Well, he won't do it.
Look at us agreeing.
So special. Am I supposed to disagree with you just to make it interesting?
Just makes things a little more exciting.
You're wrong. Yeah. He'll never be a good running back. How's that? That's gonna get the fans well on my
done.
Side.
Well
Thanks.
Done.
Thanks. Somebody wanted to know what song we came back to, John, on the texts. Oh, should I have told everybody that they can text? Or you should have told them.
Let's see. We came back with Bring Me the Horizon, Sleepwalking.
There you go.
All right.
We're here to serve.
Somebody Jordan asked me on Facebook yesterday what a song was it played. I didn't see it till after the show.
Yeah, I didn't see that either.
Yeah.
A couple of texters are saying that your Little League stories are awesome. Somebody said Knuckleball Pete may be the best thing I've heard today.
Knuckleball Pete's a player.
Literally,
man.
Laugh out loud every time you say it. And then AJ's Little League team stories are the best I've heard all week. Way better than the All-Star game or the WNBA. WNBA was amazing. We really delved into the topic. I thought we gave a great analysis of the who was it? The Sparklers
the
and
Leaks
the
oh and
the Sparklers?
I don't know.
I don't remember who
it's
it was.
The Sparks. That's who you're thinking of.
My bad.
Have some respect.
My bad. I didn't know.
It was the Lynx and the team the Lynx played.
Oh. The all right. So much for respect.
We'll be back. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
All right, we are back on the Blitz, 447. We were discussing the Astros' future and who they're going to have to pay. And, you know, Dallas Keuchel is going to be due a raise. I would say, fortunately, it's probably not going to be as big of a raise as it would have been last year.
Right.
But if he were still pitching like he were last year, you'd probably be glad to pay that guy.
Sure.
But he'll have an arbitration. He'll get a raise, undoubtedly. I think Colin McHugh is due an arbitration raise. Will Harris is due an arbitration raise.
And they're all going to get paid.
George Springer is due an arbitration raise.
That's scary.
Altuve is the – you couldn't have a more club-friendly deal for him.
I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a better value.
I don't think
from
there
a team
is
perspective.
There
in
might
the
not
majors.
Be one. He is under contract for in 2017. After 2017, they have a $6 million club option for a fifth year.
Jeez.
And a $6.5 million club option for the sixth year of his contract.
Oh God.
At this point, I almost kind of feel sorry for Altuve because he just kind of signed a bad deal.
Yeah, he did. He got paid early, but he didn't get paid much because that dude's what would you say? Somewhere between 20 and 30 million a year easily, right?
If he finishes this season the way he started it.
Yeah.
And let's say he was a free agent at the end of the year.
Yeah.
He's a $20 million a year player.
Yeah.
At his age, was he 26, 23, 25? I don't know what he is. He's somewhere around 25.
He's 26 years old.
26. Yeah. He's getting he'd get $20 million a year for probably
easily
5 or 6 years.
I think so. Easily. Yeah. Correa is going to be the same way. I mean, they right now their value.
My guess is Correa will never sign a contract like the one Jose Altuve signed.
No, but I mean, you look at right now they're paying Altuve 2.7 roughly 2.68 million. They're paying Springer 500,000. That's what he's on the books for right now. And then. Yeah, and then Correa is sitting at, where is it? Well, I've lost my dang internet here. I've got to find Correa's, but it can't be much more. It's somewhere in between, I'm sure. So it's just crazy, man. It's unbelievable, these numbers. And then you got guys top heavy like Fister and Feldman and Gomez and Rasmus that's who your top four or five players are that are getting salary-wise on the team. Unbelievable. So, yeah, they've got some value at the bottom end of that. And so when they go out and sign that kid from Cuba, you know, they look like they're trying to make the right moves. So, but they're going to end up paying even more. I was looking at overall 2016 payroll. They are 29 of 30. It says at 69 million. The only team with a lower payroll is the Arizona Diamondbacks. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. So,
well, Luno always said that he's going to invest in this team when he thinks that they are where they need to be invested in to take that next step. To me, the way this team has finished the first half of the season, you're a buying team. You should be a buying team.
Yeah.
And if you can get a top of the rotation arm, you've got to go do it. If you can get a big bat, a big corner outfield bat, go do it.
Sure.
It just, and I understand that there's money involved, and that's gonna hinder what they want to do. But man, if you want to compete with, you got to think what's the Dodgers payroll? You had those numbers up.
Oh, let me go pull it back up here now.
I mean, it's
they were number one.
Yeah,
229 million.
Okay,
227.
And what are the Astros spending this year?
69.
Okay,
this is all according to ESPN, by the way.
So, I mean, if you want to contend at the highest level, if a championship is your goal, you can't spend 25% of what the top teams in the league are spending.
No,
you just can't.
They're number 10 as far as market go from everything I've seen. So if they were to spend what the number 10 team is spending, which is the Mariners, they would be spending $123 million. So almost double what they currently have invested in their players.
Well, the Red Sox are the number 8 market. What are they spending?
They're fourth at $166 million.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I
mean, it's a big difference. But, you know, it's baby steps. I mean, you don't want to rush out and get into a bunch of stupid contracts.
You don't want to get into a Carlos Lee situation.
Yes.
I get that. But you have a team that was damn near in the World Series last year. Well, yeah. or damn near damn near a step away.
Yeah, okay. It's close.
But, and you didn't really invest anything in the offseason.
No. I mean, you went out and got Fister.
Like, what are they?
That was
no,
it.
He was already on the team.
Fister?
Oh, no, I'm thinking of Fires was already on the team.
Yeah, yeah. Fister was an offseason acquisition. He's getting $11.4
million. I mean, if Doug Fister is your biggest offseason acquisition.
Hey,
that's
hey,
not the.
He's their ace.
I know, but that's not the acquisition of a team who is trying to take that next step from being a contending team. And, again, the Astros with what they did last year, for my money, that's a team that you should have invested in pretty heavily this offseason.
I agree.
They didn't. They're still doing well. You know, they're still here. At this point, don't you throw something into it?
I do, but I said this before. It depends on the deal. But I don't want them to go out and again, I don't want to see them go out and make a Carlos Lee type deal.
Right.
And I also don't want to see them get rid of the rest of their prospects to make a run that they're not going to see a long-term turnaround from. Right. Like, do you really think Carlos Gomez and Mike Fiers are going to be here long-term for the prospects that they gave up? So I don't want to see them do another deal like that.
Well, at the time,
if it's a Bergman for Chris Sale, like we were discussing earlier, absolutely. Let's pull that trigger and make that. But I don't want to see them get rid of their future because it's pay now or pay later. And to make a run in 1 year, or maybe two, it doesn't make as much sense to me to have a stable long-term winner for the next 5 to 7 years.
Okay, well, and here's the other thing. The Gomez Fires trade last year, I thought that was a good move.
I did too.
You know, I thought
I did too.
Gomez has been a shell of what he was before,
and he's making about $9 million.
I mean, Fiers is what I kind of expected him to be.
Yeah, I mean, Fiers is he's a middle of the.
He's a guy who can eat some innings.
Yeah,
he's not a middle of a rotation guy on a contending team. On this team, he is, and they've been good. Remarkably, I mean, if you look at the Astros,
right? He's not a three. He's a four.
He's a four or a five on a good team.
Okay.
But
I'm not supposed to agree with you. No,
they gave
up three.
They gave up Brett Phillips, who I guess was a decent prospect. They didn't give up anything like major.
The scouting report on Brett Phillips was that he was going to be a legit major league hitter.
Okay.
You know, which, hey, you don't get anything leading the league of potential. So,
well, exactly. That's why if there's a guy like Sale, who I know is a proven commodity, give that man, give them whatever they want.
Gary Ryan on Twitter said Altuve just re-signed with Scott Boras as his agent. If that's the case, yeah.
Look at that does him now.
Well, not now, but he is going to get paid.
Yeah. All right. We'll be back. That's 1 hour in the books. Oh, let me read something while I'm thinking of it. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store and download today. Don't have an iPhone or Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. We'll be back. It's The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5.